Krishna. Today we are celebrating the appearance day of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself coming in the form of his own devotee to show people in the Kali Yuga how they can become Krishna conscious. Lord Chaitanya is not, strictly speaking, an incarnation of Krishna. He is the original personality of Godhead. Both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna are there in Krishna Loka with their jalabodes. We started by trying to sing a song by Lochinadas Thakur, which explains the appearance of Lord Chaitanya very simply. Parama Karuna Pahundwijana Nitaya Gora Chandra Sabha Avatar Sar Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram of Vrindavan, they appear in the age of Kali as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. They are extremely merciful, Parama Karuna. Everyone wants mercy in this suffering material world. An intelligent person is always seeking the greatest amount of mercy in his or her life. The way this material world is structured is that by your own efforts you cannot put out the blazing fire of material. By your own efforts you cannot put out the blazing fire of material desire. It's much like if there's a big fire in a building and you have a few people with buckets of water trying to put out the inferno. It's not going to work. Similarly, the blazing fire of material existence is such that a few individual efforts, or even mass efforts, even if all of human society materially tries to put out the blaze, it won't work. That should teach you something about material desires. They cannot be materially satisfied. The blazing fire of material existence is fueled by material desire. That blaze cannot be put out by any kind of material effort. But when Lord Chaitanya comes, he can easily put out the fire because Lord Chaitanya is the origin of everything, material and spiritual existence. He is Krishna himself coming in the form of his own devotee. So because everything emanates from Krishna, Krishna can easily put out the blazing fire of material existence. Parama Karuna Pahundwijana Nitai Gora Chandra Sabha Avatar Sar Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, their brothers in Vrindavan, they come as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. They are the essence of all avatars. And what is the gift that they give? Everyone likes to receive a gift. They give the best gift. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Kanda means path. There are different paths you can take up in life. Karma Kanda, the path of karmic activity. Jnana Kanda, the path of metaphysical understanding. But Lord Chaitanya gives the Kevala Ananda Kanda, the path of pure bliss. He does that by freely giving what has never been freely given before, pure love of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself coming to distribute love of himself. Therefore, in Lord Chaitanya, you'll find the perfection of emotional reciprocation, the perfection of selflessness. Perhaps you can try to think in this way. Suppose you had the desire to freely distribute love of yourself to everyone, even if they didn't know you. Can you imagine trying to do that? Can we get some air in here? Is it possible? First of all, how difficult is it for you to distribute love of yourself to persons who know you? That is difficult. Those of you who are married, you know, every day you have to work to balance the relationship and discuss this, discuss that. So it's so difficult to give even what we consider material love of ourselves to others in a limited circle of family and friends. Now think what it would be like to distribute love of yourself to everyone, even if they don't know you. Think about doing that. Think about going out to every town and village and city and distributing love of yourself, even to people who have no idea who you are. Forget it. It doesn't work. You have great difficulty just giving love of yourself to one person or to your children. Then analyze, what can love of yourself really do for somebody? That's another thing. Just think, I shall distribute love of myself. Maybe not to everyone, but to a few people. Okay, just a few people. What does it do for them? Distributing love of yourself will not solve anyone's material problem. It won't put out the blazing fire of material existence. It won't satisfy their material desires. What happens is that you occupy yourselves with each other for some time, and then you separate, or death separates you. But the material desires have not been satisfied. It's just you use time to constantly negotiate and balance and rebalance and adjust, and gradually you grow old if the relationship lasts all your life. And then you die, mission unfulfilled, only to take birth and start the whole process again. So what can love of yourself do for anyone? You can imagine saying to your dearly beloved, I shall now give you love of myself. Oh, okay. Now what? What does it actually do? It can't solve anyone's problems. It's simply like some kind of comet that shoots through the sky. It's there, but what does it really do for you? Anyone ever seen some comet shooting through the sky? You see? Okay, you saw it. And now what? Yeah. Well, what about your life? So people become occupied with these things without analyzing what does it actually do for me in terms of my real interest in life. So therefore, what is the point in distributing love of yourself? But when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, he distributes love of himself, not only to his inner circle of associates, but to everyone, even those who have no idea what is Krishna. Love of Krishna can benefit just one person. Krishna never comes alone. He always has an entourage when he appears in this material world. Certainly, they are always absorbed in pure love of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya's associates always demonstrate their diving and splashing and immersing themselves in the ocean of love of God. But Lord Chaitanya is not satisfied simply with that. He wants to distribute love of Krishna even to those who have no idea who is Krishna. He wants them to taste the emotional experience of loving Krishna even though they don't know who is Krishna. In order to love someone, even in a material sense, you have to know something about that person. Have any of you tried to have affection for someone you don't know? Anyone here tried that? Maybe if you were really stoned out of your mind at some club or something, at some party, and then your desires for affection manifested in a crazy way, and so you know, totally deranged and blind by intoxication, you might try to so-called love someone you didn't know. But that's an abnormal condition. Generally, everyone knows. In order for you to be affectionate towards someone, you have to have some knowledge of a person. Knowledge of their activities, their characteristics. But Lord Chaitanya distributes love of Krishna to people who have no idea who is Krishna. This is the inconceivable thing. He lets them taste love of Krishna and then induces them. Now you have tasted what is love of Krishna. Please try to understand who is Krishna. That is the inconceivable mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Lochinadas Thakur in the song sings Parama Karuna Pahundwijana Nitai Gora Chandra. Extremely merciful. We explain so many times how Krishna himself is very strict. Those of you who have read Bhagavad Gita know Krishna's position. You surrender. Sarvadharmam prachaja, mamekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all your conceptions of what is dharma, what is your duty, and just surrender to me. That is Krishna's final instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Also in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that you should first come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, and then we can discuss about performing devotional service. Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangshati. Come to the platform of understanding your spirit soul. Become free from material hankering and material lamentation, samat sarveshu bhuteshu, see all living entities as equal. Mad bhaktim labhate pratam. On that level, when you reach that level, then you can begin devotional service. So that's Krishna, very strict. How many of you in this room attained that level before starting your Krishna consciousness? Anyone? Any of you came walking through the door on the Brahmabhuta platform? Fully understanding your spirit soul, free from all material hankering and lamination, seeing all living entities as equal. Anyone like that? Yet you have taken up Krishna consciousness. What happened? You tasted what is love of Krishna, even though you didn't know. In the chanting, in the dancing, in the honoring of prasad, in the association of devotees, you were tasting something of the emotional ecstasy of love of Krishna, even though you didn't know who is Krishna. That is the miracle of Lord Chaitanya. Freely distributing love of Krishna even to persons in the most degraded circumstances. We'll read Prabhupada's purport. If you have a psalm book, you can look. This is a song by Lochana Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Dwijana means two. Lochana Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nittai Gaurachandra, Lord Nittai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. Parama Karuna. Sabha Avatar Shar Shiromani. Avatar means incarnation, and Sabha means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, Kevalananda Kanda. For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations, like Lord Ram, or even Krishna, who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochana Das requests everyone, Bhajo Bhajo Bhai, Chaitanya Nitai, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Vishvasa Kori. Sometimes I wonder how many of you understand the potency of chanting the Maha Mantra and dancing. It takes some time to see the effects beyond the immediate effect that you've all felt of feeling free from the blazing fire of material existence. That's just the beginning. Feeling freedom from material misery, although that's such a highly sought experience these days, is actually just the faint rays of the rising sun of the Holy Name. Please try to understand this. It may be a little difficult because everybody craves freedom from distress, freedom from anxiety. So you make that priority when you evaluate your spiritual progress. How much am I feeling freedom from suffering? How much am I feeling absence of anxiety? But the experience of being free from material suffering is just the slight beginning of the mercy of the Holy Name. Just like when the sun rises in the morning, the first rays of light can be seen in the sky. Similarly, the first rays of presence of the Holy Name are freedom from material anxiety. So many of you took up Krishna consciousness because you felt that. You felt, oh, my material anxiety is diminishing, my life has meaning. But that's just the beginning. If you view the chanting of Hare Krishna as a lifelong process, then over the years, over the decades, if you go on chanting sincerely and remain free from sinful life, you will see that you are attaining the goal. You are advancing in love of Krishna. We have to understand the cultural constraints that are inhibiting our self-evaluation in Krishna consciousness. Western culture trains you to think of everything in an instant way. Whatever I do has got to work in the next 3 seconds. How many of you can think about your whole life as a commodity or entity for generating spiritual growth? It's very difficult for Westerners. They can't think of their whole life as a unit meant for producing something. You just think of, well, the next 2 years, yeah, I'll do this and I'll get that. But how many of you can actually conceive of your life as an organic unit for giving growth to something? Very difficult. Especially these days when attention spans are so low because the minds are so bombarded with stimuli. Very difficult for people to concentrate these days. I told you about what Kurma said about his cooking shows. Yes. For those of you who didn't hear, the Kurma who writes the cookbooks, he had a very popular half-hour cooking show in Australia. It also was shown on TV in other parts of the world. 1 half-hour, Cooking with Kurma. Very popular. I think it was also shown in New Zealand. Is that so? Anyway, definitely it was very popular in Australia. That was about 5 or 6, 7 years ago. So he went back to the network chiefs and said, you know, the television network chiefs, okay, I guess it's time to do it again. You know, it was a big hit 7 years ago. Now, you've showed reruns 2 or 3 times, so, you know, it's been 5 years since the last rerun was shown, so I guess it's time to put together a new show, huh? I said, a lot has changed in the past 5 years. People do not have the attention span for sitting down and watching a half-hour cooking show. Their minds can't focus that long. This is what the television network chiefs told us. To sit and just watch someone teaching how to cook for 30 minutes. Impossible for them. And they explain what the typical cooking show is like these days. They just get a famous star, sports star or movie star or singer, and they show that person driving around town buying ingredients and, you know, just doing silly things. And then the person gets to his opulent home and goes in the kitchen. And so for 10 minutes of the half-hour show, they show the person cooking in the kitchen. You know, and I do this, then I do that, and I put this in, and I put that in. And then the last 10 minutes of the show, it's just the person hanging out with his friends, eating the meal. So the first 10 minutes, he's driving around town, you know. Yeah, I like this town, and yeah, this is where I usually shop, and yeah, this street, you know, is really inspiring street for me. There's always life on it, and all that kind of stuff. That's the first 10 minutes. The middle 10 minutes are him giving cooking instructions, you know, how to barbecue something. And the last 10 minutes, he's eating with his mates, you know, and joking and having a good time. That's the cooking show these days. So the television network people were saying, they have to do like this because people cannot concentrate on a cooking class for a half hour. They told Kurma, sorry Kurma, those days are over. We've got to give the masses what they want. The masses can't concentrate, so we've got to give them things that, you know, don't require concentration. This means, this lack of concentration means it's very difficult for persons to get a grip on their whole life. Just try to think about that for a moment. Think of your whole life as a unit, as an entity meant to generate something. It's difficult, isn't it? You generally just think of a year. I don't know, maybe it's hard to even think of a year these days. But most people just think about the next weekend or something, huh? I guess if you're at the uni, you might think of the next couple of years when you finish your uni. But after that, everything's a big blank. What are you going to do when you finish the uni? Oh, I guess I'll worry about paying my loans. I'll go overseas. Now try to understand, how is it possible for people to think of their whole life as a unit, one unit, a singularity? Very difficult. They don't have that kind of concentrating power. But bhakti yoga is meant for your whole life. It's not a flash in the sky. So we have to change our way we conceptualize the effects of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness in our life. Understanding that it's difficult for us to see our whole life. That is because of passion, rajagun. It's going to take some time before you fully realize what rajagun has done for you. It's just totally obliterated. The mode of passion, rajagun, has totally obliterated the ability to calmly look at your life in a reflective way. What's considered a great achievement these days? If you can calmly analyze the past weekend, reflect about the past weekend, you're known as a great sage. Or if you can meditate on the coming weekend, you're known as a very disciplined person, deep thinker. That's as far as it gets. This is because of rajagun, mode of passion. Who can reflect upon their whole life? Any of you, before coming to Krishna consciousness, ever did that? Okay, my whole life. Now, what is it going to be about? What is it going to generate? What is it going to produce? Anyone do that? You don't even think about it. Because the senses are so agitated, your mental concentration is tied up with just dealing with your agitated senses. In order to properly see your whole life in Krishna consciousness, you have to come to at least a platform of goodness, sattva-gun. Get beyond the agitations of passion, and then you can see things clearly. Now try to understand your whole life as an entity meant for generating attraction to the holy name, absorption in chanting and dancing. You do like that, and then you can begin to fathom a little bit of what is Krishna consciousness. You see, what the problem is that there's no structure to life anymore. In India, you'll find people's lives automatically follow a structure. There used to be some rudimentary attempt at structuring life in the West, but that's all finished. Maybe you can remember the way your grandparents lived. You know, back in the 50s or something like that, early 60s. You know, you go to school, you go to high school, not so many people went to university. And then when you finish school, you get a job and you get married, and then you have children, you work to support the children, and then you get old, and then you die. So that was the expected structure to life. It's like my mother. She went to school. She had a boyfriend in high school. When she finished high school, she went to nursing school. And then when she was 20 or 21, she married her only boyfriend, her high school boyfriend. She told me. Like most girls back then, you know. I didn't have any relations with a man, even my boyfriend, till I was married. That was just the way it was, you know. Then you marry, and you save money, and you buy a house, and you have a kid. And then she had a kid. Had another kid. She stayed at home raising the kids while the husband worked. That's life. So as you all know, living structure is finished these days. You don't have any idea, materially speaking, what your life is going to be like. It's like getting on a roller coaster ride. How many of you, before you know, in your wild days before Krishna consciousness, thought, okay, I'm going to graduate from school, and then I'll get a job, I'll marry, and I'll have children, and we'll pay off the mortgage, and... How many of you thought like that? Anyone? Anyone? Any of the men thought, I'll go to high school, I'll learn a trade. I'll meet a girl. Can you believe it? That thought is crazy. I'll meet a girl. You guys can't even think like that. I'll meet a girl, and she'll be the girl of my dreams. And then we will marry and settle down, and I will work and pay off the mortgage, and she will stay at home raising the children. Oh, how happy we'll be. And on weekends we'll invite our parents over, you know, for family gatherings. Any of you thought like that? No way. Well, any of you ladies thought, we'll go to school, And then, hopefully sometime in our last 2 years of high school, we're going to meet Mr. Right, and the relationship will begin. And then, if we go to the university, we'll maintain that relationship through the university days. And after finishing school, you know, we'll go to the bank, and we'll talk to the loan officer, and we'll arrange a mortgage. We'll set up a home in the suburbs somewhere. And then, I mean, after 1 or 2 years, when our finances are in order, a baby will come, and we'll invite our parents over, you know, for family gatherings. We'll make sure we're in a nice neighborhood which has good schools for the children. I didn't even thought like that. My mother was always in anxiety about that. Like, we've got to live in a neighborhood which has a good school. She's always pressing my father in that way. You know, we've got to, you know, we have to be in a neighborhood which has a school in which the children can be successful. That was her, one of her main activities while she stayed at home and the father worked, was making trips to the local school to hammer the principal. Yeah, I don't think my son has the best teacher. What are you going to do about it? They have parents like that in New Zealand? Like that? Yes? Your mother? She'll go harass the school staff to, about what? So how many of you ladies thought like that? What about in Israel? Do they think like that? Huh? Yeah? Oh, well, it's definitely a special place. Nowhere else does it happen. You notice in New Zealand they don't think like that, right? You notice? Everything is wild. Hey, you go to school, you know, you're 12 years old, and you're thinking, where are the parties? Yeah, 12 years old, where are the parties? Who's going to buy the alcohol for us? By the time you're 13, yeah, you're looking for the drugs. How many of you, when you were teenagers, 12 or 13 or 14, would think, I'm just waiting for that right person? No, hey, we try out everybody. You know? Who's right for the moment? Who filled the time? Got to have somebody. Yeah. Can't be the one who's left out. So everything is social chaos these days. That's why it's very hard to evaluate your life. And therefore it's hard to see how Krishna consciousness will shape your whole life, because you can't see your whole life. Think about this. It's a very important point. Now, if you go to India, or our friends from Israel say it's still like that there. All right. So, especially you go to India, people know what their life is going to be. They get an education, they get a job, and then their parents press them, now it's time to marry. Generally, the parents still arrange the marriages. Everything is done in a respectable way. Then they marry, then it's expected they have children. And then, as they get older, they're expected to take care of their parents who are aging. Life is already figured out. But in the West, I guess except Israel, right? Everything is just topsy-turvy. Therefore, it's difficult for you to visualize how your whole life is going to be based in Krishna consciousness. And so, because your mental powers are stunted, you can only just look at the next few years. Yeah, this Krishna consciousness feels kind of nice, you know. I got kind of burned out on the party scene, and yeah, I mean, you know, this could be it, you know, and yeah. That's as far as you can see. Because there's no components of life that you can depend on. No stable, fixed components of your life. It's all been obliterated by the present day illusions. You're constantly pushed to just think of your senses at the moment. And that's good enough. Yeah, right now, what I'm doing feels good. Yeah, right now, the relationship I have seems all right. And everyone will appreciate that kind of mentality, right? Yeah, that's practical. Right now, what you're doing feels good for you. Right now, what you're doing seems to make you happy. Okay, fair enough. That's all you have to do. That's as deep as things get. Don't worry about going any deeper. So this kind of mode of passion culture, mode of passion and ignorance, because there has to be lots of intoxication. People can't live without intoxication, so that's the mode of ignorance. Passion and ignorance is what they specialize in. It prevents you from seeing your whole life properly. Try to understand this. See what you're up against. As your life starts to become more purified by chanting Hare Krishna, you will get that ability to see your whole life as a unit, as an entity for producing a desired result. But it'll take some time. Now, how much are you willing to invest in yourself to clean yourself up? That you have to decide. How much effort are you going to make to keep yourself clean? It's two things. Clean yourself up and keep yourself from getting dirty again. It's a major preoccupation. But don't be ashamed of that. Sometimes I think that devotees become a little discouraged or flustered that so much of their concentration is on cleaning themselves and keeping themselves free from contamination. I think that some of you think that this is a bad sign, that every day I have to think how to purify myself, how to be free from sinful contamination. Why do you think that's bad? Why do you think that's that's some kind of bad sign? You think like that because of contamination from Kali Yuga culture. Perhaps the mental processes go something like this. Well, if Krishna consciousness is truly blissful, why would you have to worry about controlling your senses? Is that the way the thinking process goes? Huh? Why do I have to... Am I going to fight this battle every day of my life? Trying to control my senses? Even if so, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with trying to control your senses? It's not seen as a valuable thing these days. The fact is, though, as the years go by in Krishna consciousness, if you perform Krishna consciousness properly and take shelter of the holy name, you become more absorbed in thinking how to satisfy Krishna's senses. That change will come. And because you're always thinking of how to satisfy Krishna's senses, less and less you have to worry about how to control your own senses. Because your senses become automatically controlled by thinking how to satisfy Krishna's senses. That is the mystery of bhakti yoga. So don't be embarrassed that, oh, it's been 4 or 5 years I'm practicing Krishna consciousness and still I have to watch out for Maya. Why do you be disturbed in that way? Understand, this is Kali Yuga, the most degraded time to live in. And here you are trying to be pure while living amidst the most filthy situation. Kali Yuga. That's a miracle that you're trying to become pure in such dirty surroundings. As your consciousness becomes more clean, you'll be able to look at your whole lifestyle, look at your whole lifespan, and then see it's going to go through phases of increased attachment for chanting the holy name and dancing. That is how simple Lord Chaitanya has made the process. So give yourself a chance to develop. So much of our work is to get people to properly value themselves and respect themselves. What I've been explaining is part of self-respect and valuing yourself. Develop the ability to see your whole life and to use your whole life to achieve the desired result. Therefore, as Prabhupada writes, don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Now, as we said, immediately you all know about the effects of chanting and dancing, that you're free from material anxiety. That's just the beginning, as you're explaining. Beyond that, you're going to experience more and more attraction for Krishna. This will develop throughout your life. Now, what happens is sometimes people light the fire of bhakti, then pour water on it, and then try to light the fire again and pour water on it. That's what causes the frustrations in Krishna consciousness. Persons who do not follow the process properly, they light the fire and then engage in sinful activity. It's like pouring water on the fire. The logs become wet. And then, I got burned out. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. They light the fire again. And it's hard to light the fire again because the logs are wet. Up and down like that. There'll be some benefit, of course. Any way you approach Krishna, there'll be some benefit. But it makes things psychologically frustrating. The goal will very slowly and haphazardly be achieved that way. Still, one should always keep trying to become Krishna conscious, no matter what. But we have to recognize what causes the frustrations. Not everyone is honest enough to see that they are the cause of their own frustrations. All right, let's go on reading. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Chariya Sairase Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure he will reach the desired goal. Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. So that will take some time to develop. But the development is there. Deko ore bhai tri bhuvane nai. Loshna Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there's no one like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. You know how when Lord Chaitanya was passing through the Jharikhanda forest, he had all the animals, even fierce animals like tigers, chanting and dancing Hare Krishna. The fierce animals would be dancing with the normally timid animals like deer and embracing and kissing and all chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The point is that if Lord Chaitanya can do that with animals, certainly he can do that with the animal-like human beings of today. We'll go on reading. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jharikhanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals join him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted men will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. Sometimes devotees say to me, oh, I don't know if I'm feeling any real attraction. I'm just going through the motions. Even that is so, the chanting of Hare Krishna will melt the stone-like heart. You just give it some time. Already you felt the effects in terms of freedom from material suffering. But gradually, you'll feel the positive effects. Sometimes devotees feel, oh, my heart is so hard. I don't have any religious feelings. I don't have any religious sentiments. Don't worry. Even your so-called stone heart will be melted by the chanting of Hare Krishna. But Lochana Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Of course, Lochana Das Thakur, he's not like that. But the amazing thing about Krishna consciousness is, the more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more lower you think you are. The more lowly you think you are. This is inconceivably hard for the materialistic mind to understand. It would seem that when you achieve something, automatically you think, I'm great, I'm better. I've achieved. But the amazing thing about Krishna consciousness is, the more Krishna conscious you become, the more low you think you are. So Lochana Das Thakur is not putting on when he says these words. He really feels that way. Oh, but my mind is lodged in sense gratification. I have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. I have no attraction for Lord Chaitanya's movement. What's the use of me? He's actually feeling that way. Because the more you get Krishna, the more you feel there's so far to go. This goes on eternally. Your taste just increases. It's not like a material acquisition when you get something. Okay, I've got it. I've got it. And I have achieved it. I have attained. In Krishna consciousness, the more you become aware of Krishna's pleasure, the more progress you think you have to make. Therefore, eternally, you just go deeper and deeper and deeper in satisfying Krishna. In this way, Lochana Das Thakur is sincerely expressing himself. I have no attraction. Because there's always so much more Krishna to be aware of. The relationship is ever fresh, ever sweet. Can you find such a relationship in the material world? Any of you? You've had a material relationship in which every day you were thinking, there's just so much more to this person to understand. Every day is just like, you know, more and more is there. No, not possible. Because in the material world, everything is limited. After a while, you just think, well, okay, that's the way this person is. This is the way I am. And we'll just kind of try to make it, you know, try to stick to it. We might apply that kind of thinking to Krishna consciousness. This is what it's going to be like in Krishna consciousness. You get to know Krishna, and that's it. Then you kind of just put up with each other. No. This song by Lochana Das Thakur shows that each passing day in bhakti yoga brings you the realization that there's so much more Krishna to be had, and I'm so fallen that I'm not tasting it. The more you get, the more you think there's so much more. So in this way, your whole life, in fact, why this life eternally, you're caught up in the process of going deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. Today, let us meditate on Krishna's appearance as Lord Chaitanya. We can meditate on how actually we don't merit a chance to serve Krishna. We don't merit a chance to develop love of Krishna. We don't have any of the preliminary qualifications. But because Lord Chaitanya is freely distributing the chance to love Krishna, therefore here we are. That chance to love Krishna is being freely distributed in the most degraded times. Any questions? Moshala Leela, that's the disappearance of Krishna, disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, is not a subject matter that devotees like to talk about. They're aware of it, but they don't like to talk about it. not that they're not aware of it, but Krishna's appearance, Lord Chaitanya's appearance, everyone likes to talk about this appearance. Anything else?
Lokanath
Das Thakur,
Vajra, and respect.
It doesn't make sense on the material platform, therefore material psychologists will never understand. Wait till you read Chaitanya Charitamrita and you read that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says he's more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. You'll find out about how sinful they were. They were burglars, rapists, murderers. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm more sinful than them. And he says, I'm lower than the worm in stool. You ever seen a worm in stool? Huh? Yeah? Well, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm lower than that. Yet he's so exalted, he's the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this can't be understood from the material point of view. As I said, from the material point of view, if you attain something, you feel, yeah, I'm qualified, I'm expert. Like, you know, so you get a sense of material self-esteem, right? I've done this, right? I have been honored. I have been recognized with distinction. And so you can walk around feeling, you know. So naturally you think that in spiritual life, the same thing should apply. I've gotten Krishna. No, it doesn't work like that. Krishna is so great that the more you know Krishna, the more small you think you are. These are spiritual emotions. But what is Krishna thinking? Krishna thinking, my devotee is so great, I want to come under the control of my devotee. The mystery of Krishna's appearance as Lord Chaitanya is that Krishna recognizes the devotees have more pleasure serving him than he gets by being served. So Krishna comes as his own devotee to taste the highest pleasure of being a servant of Krishna. Try to understand that. Everyone wants to be master, but the real master wants to be a servant. So Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, as his own devotee, to taste what the devotees are tasting. Meanwhile, what are the devotees thinking? We are so low, we are so fallen. And what is Krishna thinking? My devotees are so great, I want to be one of them. This doesn't make material sense, does it? Well, what does make material sense, I ask you? Computers make material sense, huh? In a limited way. That's why some people get addicted to them. They can seem to be like one of the few things in this world to make sense. But then when you look at material existence as a whole, it doesn't make sense. So computers are a very nice distraction. They provide a false sense of coherence. You notice that? And you forget to look and see how the whole proposition of material existence is incomprehensible, incoherent. So don't have this assurance that, well, material things I understand. It's just this Krishna that's a bit difficult. Material things you don't understand. So these spiritual emotions of feeling yourself to be lowly, while at the same time you could be absorbed in love of Krishna, this is impossible to understand from a material point of view. Anything else? So today everyone should absorb themselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving, rendering service so we can have a nice festival this evening. Try to understand Lord Chaitanya's gift. Try to understand who is Lord Chaitanya. Then your life will be successful. No one knows who is Krishna, yet Lord Chaitanya is freely distributing love of Krishna, even to those who don't know who is Krishna. You get to taste first, and then decide. Krishna is not like that. I've explained so many times. Krishna says, first surrender, then we'll talk about the taste. Lord Chaitanya says, here, you take a sample. Later we'll discuss business. Krishna doesn't do that. But he comes as Lord Chaitanya and does that. Taste first and then discuss. If you want to go on tasting, then you agree to give up your material sense gratification. All right, so let's have Prabhupada's Guru Puja and Kirtan.